So in this episode of the podcast, I'm super, super excited because, as you guys know, I am a big solutions person. Everyone's talking about the problems. I go out and try to find the solutions. I met one of our guests. I didn't meet him. I actually learned of him while reading this book behind me. For those of you that are just listening, it's How to Make It in the New Music Business. It's Ari Herstand's book. But Lucidius was one of his instructors when it came to running Facebook and Instagram ads. And you guys know I'm a big geek on running ads. So I went in and I listened to what he taught in that course. And I'm like, dude, this guy is so freaking smart at the way he simplifies what others find complicated. And it was just kind of his laid back style. So I reached out to him and come to realize that it's actually a two-headed monster, because not only is it Lucidius on the musician side, but we also have Derek Ruffner, who's with us. I don't want to say, what side would we call you, Derek? Because you could be an artist as well, but I don't want to give you this huge title and then upset Lucidius that I'm just, oh, you're just putting me down as just like simple artist guy. But so tell us, Derek, kind of what your role in this is, and then I'm going to explain to you guys what it is that I'm talking about, because the solution, now we'll say solutions, that they have solved. So what role do you play in this relationship here?
Great question. I mean, I think at the end of the day, I mean, Lucid and I, we're always switching hats. You know, that's the nature of startups, right? But generally, you know, my focus is on the technology side. So we both come together to kind of understand what the problem is that, you know, either marketers are facing trying to get new music out there, or artists are facing, you know, in terms of protecting their rights or, you know, setting up the right foundation for success. And, you know, my job is really just to try to translate those into digital products that we can put out there and that, you know, can solve some problems.
What was interesting is when I was listening to Lucid talk and he was talking about this thing called Artist Hub, I had no idea that he was part of the creation. I just heard, wow, here's this cool solution, because artists will constantly come to me and say, Rick, pre-saves are done. You know, it's like they're too complicated. It's a lot to ask of my audience. Spotify gets to know everything about my listeners. And there's even a box there that says that they can go and remove my listeners and all this kind of stuff. So Lucid, as an artist yourself, who's done tremendously well with all of this, are pre-saves done?
Well, honestly, up until really a month and a half, 2 months ago, yeah. I mean, they were done. For example, one of my most successful pre-save campaigns that I ran, I had 41,000 landing page hits of people that said, yes, pre-save. And I think less than 1,000 of them actually went through the complex process of logging in, dual factor authentication, just the tremendous wall that sometimes not even our most loyal friends are willing to go through for pre-saving. So we're talking about, these are my super fans at that time. 41,000 people said, yes, I'll do it. And only 900 of them actually followed through. That just shows the sheer wall that we've had for really the last 10 years of attempting to do this. As of 2 months ago, the reason that I say now it actually is lucrative, it is worthwhile, is because Derek, who is in charge of our programming, in charge of just the lead dev with Artist Hub, actually resolved the issue of bypassing that login process. So now if they have Spotify on their phone, which of course they
do. Most people do, right?
Over 500 million people do at this point. It now recognizes that the app is installed. It bypasses the login and the security authorization is already done. So within an 11-second window or less, it's actually opening Spotify. It shows a check mark. It's completely safely saved in their library. It bounces them back to the browser and it's done.
You know, it's interesting. Pre-saved. As I was telling people too, as I said, pre-save is one of the most selfish things an artist can ask for, because there wasn't anything in it for them. And then all the hoops that you made everyone jump through. This Artist Hub has now eliminated that part of it. And you mentioned something about, I was reading it and I was looking at it, is that constantly having to go back to people to ask them the same thing over and over. Hey, it's pre-save time again. Hey, it's pre-save time again. Hey, it's pre-save time again. You guys solved that problem, didn't you?
We did. Yeah. There is a re-education element to this, just for the artist to know. Over these years, we have conditioned our fans. When they see that pre-save, they know, oh, I'm not even gonna bother. I'm not even gonna
Right.
bother.
Let me know when it's out. I'll listen to it.
Exactly. So now the artist not only has to say, hey, the pre-save's out, but hey, look how easy it is now. And you can help me. And within 10 seconds, it's pre-saved, you're good to go. And just showing them how easy it is, showing them on screen that once you click this button, it really is just one click. You don't have
Sure.
to go through so many other steps.
So if we're educating the fans, which is what we're going to have to do because they've been programmed to just ignore it. It's like, oh yeah, I'll do it for you. I love you. You're my favorite artist. And then, as you said, 41,000, only 900 follow through with it. What is it that we can tell them the benefit of pre-saving your song is? You know, because a lot of people would talk about that. They're like, and you'll hear certain music marketers, and I say that because they'll jump on whatever anybody's talking about and go, pre-saves don't even matter. The algorithm doesn't do it. This doesn't happen. This doesn't happen. From you as the artist, what is the importance of me as the fan? Instead of just you coming out and saying, hey, my song's out, go stream it. What is the importance? What does that do for you when I pre-save your song?
It could do a couple of different things. First and foremost, we also have the ability to offer forever pre-saves. So after somebody successfully pre-saves, it gives the fan a checkbox option where it can say, hey, for all future releases, allow all of the pre-saves to go directly to my library. So we can actually build a compounding audience. That's beneficial for the fan because they don't have to worry about it ever again. Just
Right.
pre-saves it and they're good. They love this artist, they're committed, great. It also helps us as an artist because we can build a compounding audience that's growing over time rather than starting fresh. It's always, okay, we're back at zero. It's a brand new pre-save. It's a brand new song. No. Now we're seeing that over 50% of people that go through the pre-save process will actually leave that box checked. So we are building connection to our fans release after release rather than starting at zero.
So the
That's one
key
of the
is
big
just
pieces.
one time. Let's just
One
get them
time.
there one time. Let's take the time to educate. Let's take the time to do something special. Invite everybody to like a listening party of the new song or something, and then say, hey, while I got you here, I mean, have you found any cool ways to kind of bring this topic back up, knowing that you've beaten the crap out of it for the last however many years?
Yeah, it's actually really coincidental that you asked that specific question because I have my album releasing this Friday, my fourth
Three
album.
days, I saw it. I'm on
Thank you. And
it.
last night, it's a 37-minute album. I had a 2 hour and 45-minute Zoom session with many of my fans, and
Sure.
we listened through the album in its entirety. And we did Q&As and just emotional story sharing throughout, me telling behind the scenes. And it's a great opportunity to tell them about the pre-save process and connect with them, snag a few recorded clips. So we can do these type of events and dive in deeper with our fans and then show them how easy it is to pre-save. But you can also run an education post, a retargeting campaign to people who already follow you, to people who have already engaged with you, and be like, hey, guess what? My album's coming out. Look how easy this process is, and then show them on screen what that looks like and be like, it means the world to me.
Sure.
And we will remind you on drop day. I'll give you a reminder via email, via text, just to let you know, hey, it's live. Thank you so much. And before you know it, you're bringing in new education towards this strategy.
And I think too, and my approach is going to be completely different because I'm going to go in and I'm going to work with some artists that have the personality to do it and say, oh, great, another pre-save. Well, you know what? Let me first by saying I apologize for all the hoops that I've made you guys jump through the years. And I've been on the lookout because of how important this is to both of us. And this is what I found. You know what I mean? Kind of calling out the problem and saying, who's ready to pre-save my next album? Not, make some sound with something and go, well, let me tell you, because I think too is the more opportunities you have, one, to be honest with your audience and transparent with your audience, that's going to set you aside from a lot of these other artists that are out there. You know, it's like when you can tell them, it's like, I'm doing everything I can to make this process and be respectful of your time because I know you want to support me. You tell me you want to support me. You're constantly sharing my stuff. Here's a tool that's going to allow us the ability to be able to do that. I love how you said you spent a couple hours with your fans doing like a listening party. It's I mean, how cool is that? You know what I mean? It's like you've just built up content, and knowing you, the marketer, as well as the artist, it's like those are going to be your ads. You know, you're going to be chopping up that that whole conversation. It's great when we can talk about how great the album is, but when you've got them talking about how great the album is and what their favorite track was and really engaging with your story. And that's what I think a lot of artists aren't doing right now. It's like you're showing up to a whole bunch of strangers wanting them to like your children instead of letting them know that you got pregnant, that you were dating, let them see the ultrasound, the gender reveal. You know, it's like if you let them allow them to be through that process, you have a different relationship with that child when it's born than just showing up going, hey, love my baby. Yeah, which I think a lot of artists are doing right now. Derek, what did you see when you said, okay, there's other apps that are out there, there's other opportunities. What did you see that said, this is a hole we can plug and we can plug it better than anyone else? Was it that pre-save for life?
You know, I mean, going back to the origin of Artisub, it didn't, you know, start with the intention of having this platform to solve all these different issues. It started with just a simple problem that we were facing, which is it was tough to get people to the Spotify app. I mean, that was problem one, is like we had these landing pages and there was this issue with the App Store and like Google Play, and it wasn't opening. It was taking people to an install app link, and it was just killing conversions, making it impossible to actually, you know, track anything. And so that was the first solution that we put out there. And, you know, we naturally started building on top of it, and pre-saves were one of our most highly requested features for a long time. But it didn't feel right releasing it, because when we looked at the internal numbers of, you know, the friction that fans were going through, it didn't make sense to spend this time on developing it, getting it out there, having these artists and labels spend money trying to market these pre-saves and then just not getting any return out of it. And so it was a lot of late nights and tinkering until we could figure out the deep link solution that, you know, kind of cut all those problems off of the funnel. And then as soon as we locked onto that, we're like, this is it. Like, this feels right. This is something we can introduce as part of the Artisub family.
So you said deep link. Is that what was missing?
Yes,
it is. So on the technical front, a deep link means instead of opening a website, you're kind of opening a location inside the app. So that's what we figured out, is how to talk to the Spotify app a lot more fluidly, so that instead of asking people to log in on Spotify, you know, which no one does, we then just open up the Spotify app and everyone's already signed in on their Spotify account there. So we lean on that in order to power the pre-save feature.
So if someone says, well, do I really need an Artist Hub link? I already get one from my digital service provider. What would your answer to them be?
I mean, you know, they're free to use the one that comes, you know, with their distributor. But the truth is, we've put a lot of time into creating like really fantastic fan experiences, so that as an artist, you can feel confident putting out your Artist Hub link and knowing that your fan is reaching your destination, that they can have all the actions that they need in order to listen to your music the day it comes out, that they can automatically get updated. You know, like going back to your earlier question about fan incentive, because that's what drives conversion, is like the fan asking themselves, what do I get out of this? The truth is, with the way social media operates today, there's a lot of noise. And even if you have, you know, a bunch of followers, it's tough to reach them sometimes. So just having a service where fans can get notified about new music from artists that they care about, I mean, that's invaluable. And we've made that process a lot easier. So we love what we've come up with.
Well, I don't want to call anybody else's child ugly, but it serves a better purpose and is, I mean, let's just say it, it's doing what others aren't doing, correct?
Yeah. Yeah,
sure. Yeah. And at the end of the day, when you're looking at marketing, you have one goal in mind, and that is to reduce friction.
Right.
Because reduced friction results in higher conversion. So the coolest thing about Artist Hub is that I am and have been an independent musician for 12 years. So all of the things that we are solving are directly related to my problems. Personally, as an artist, first and foremost, I'm an artist. And Derek has just helped me identify those problems and slowly solve one after one after one. So
well,
it's very personal.
Put another word in front of artists. You have been a successful independent artist. You know, it's like there's a lot of people that have been artists for many years.
Sure.
Successful, have made a living.
Yeah.
You know, absolutely. Understand how to use the tools and the resources, hasn't sat around waiting for his opportunity, has created his opportunity. So let's give you a little bit more credit than just independent artists, because there's a lot of people, and trust me, they show up to my trainings every week and I'll say, okay, how long have you been doing this? This last week, over 50% have been doing this for over 20 years. Well, why the frick are you still showing up to webinars that I'm hosting or trainings? You don't have this shit figured out. You know, so you need to put somebody in your world that can help you figure it out. So as I'm listening to Ari's book and buying trainings from you, everybody's like, Rick, why would you buy a training from someone who teaches Facebook and Instagram ads when you create a course that teaches Facebook and Instagram? I said, because he's given it to me from the point of view from an artist perspective. I'm coming at it from a manager's perspective. So I can't go to a university and get a degree from one dude in one book. It's just not going to work that way. I need different professors and different understandings. So for you as the artist to be able to go to Derek and say, dude, here's the problem. Here's what I'm running into. And him have the knowledge and know-how to not only identify that, yes, it is a problem, but have the whereabouts to fix it. That's uncommon, because this whole industry is about this is broke, this is broke, this is broke, this is broke. And then nobody does shit about it.
Yeah.
You guys were like, wait, we're going to invest our own money and we're going to figure this out. It's like, that's what I respected when I first had my first conversation with you, is not only are you giving your insights of what's broken, you're backing this shit up with your own personal investments to create the solutions to make it better.
Thank you.
So
I just had this conversation last week. I was talking to another artist and I realized I have been investing in my own marketing, my own music exposure every single day for 7 years. There's not been one day that I have not spent some form of money. Obviously my budget has changed over the course of 7 years. And that is the conversation that most artists don't want to have, because I was at the beginning, looking 7 years back, I didn't necessarily have the money to invest. I found it. I carved it out. I made sure that a percentage of my experience, my funnel, my income from the jobs that I had was going to invest no matter what, because we cannot expect to be exposed to the world that is overly saturated and very competitive without investing our money to be seen. It's just how the world works. So when I'm working with Derek, I'm like, okay, I'm spending so much money on marketing. I want to maximize all of my reach and reduce as much friction as possible to make this worth it. Because yes, back to the original point, you can use one of the free links from these distributors. You can use one of these links, but the friction's going to be so high. And the fan experience is not going to be seamless or enjoyable, which is going to have somebody be like, nah, I'll do this later. They won't do it later.
So let me ask you this, and this is me now talking to artists, because people, I don't want to be broad, but I'm going to be broad. Almost everyone will take the free option because it's free versus a $6 a month option. Here's $6 a month or free. They will take free and bitch because it doesn't work, when $6 a month could have solved your problem. What advice would you give to artists who are starting to get into their own way? Because just because something's free doesn't mean it's going to produce. And if it's free, friction.
Yeah.
$6 a month, no friction.
Yeah. It's it's a state of mind as well.
Got it.
It's a willingness and an understanding that I'm going to have to invest into the wind with faith. When that, you know, into the wind meaning money, meaning time, several elements, into the wind, understanding that I may not see the result yet, right? If I didn't, 7 years ago with Derek, he's the one who initially taught me a basic video views, Facebook campaign, and I went total nerd alert. I just dove in and I became obsessed with
kind of the way I am with ChatGPT right now.
Exactly. Just obsessed. Late nights, just texting him, just figuring out what does this mean? How do I convert higher? And my audience started growing. And I thought to myself, if I didn't just choose to spend $5 a day, which again, I'm not judging anyone who is sure. in a different financial state. It's totally
start with a dollar
decision.
That's the lowest they'll let you start. Start with a dollar.
You can go to a restaurant down the street and buy a really expensive steak dinner once a month, or you can put that steak dinner into your advertisements. I would rather get 5 new fans a month than none.
Okay, hold on. Let me just back up what he said. 5. You know why? Because he knows the lifetime value of a true fan. Because most of you want the 50,000 people to see your post. And this gentleman just said, I would rather get 5 new fans a month. That adds up to 60 new fans a year. Not likes, not subscribers. We're talking fans. Because if you do things correctly, those fans, you could put a dollar value on them based on the amount of times that you bring offers to them. So I just wanted to highlight that, because most people would say, and if I can just go out and get another 500 fans, it ain't that easy, people.
No,
you know, it's like if it were, everybody would be doing it. So I like that you dealt with realistic numbers, but I like that perspective that you have.
Thank you. I think it's critical to understand. Like, it's one thing to say, I want to land a big playlist, maybe a big record deal. You know, great. Like, go for that. Always go for the big playlist land and take those avenues, take those risks. But do the one thing that we have control over. We do have some form, saturated, competitive or not, we have control over our ability to invest a small amount of money and create a back-end funnel that is always exponentially growing. Even if they're coming in slowly, it doesn't matter if there's one a day. They are coming in slowly, that will always build. Therefore, you're not waiting on the playlist. You're not waiting on the radio play or landing a big trailer. You're growing your career regardless.
Right. Right. The hope and marketing. So I talk about that all the time.
Exactly. We can't wait. And you know what? They go together. I do both. I'm going to continue this. I'm also going to collaborate, network, and try to do as much for my career as I can. But it's a state of mind. I see people going out and they spend $100 on drinks and enjoying their weekend. And that's great. Do that. But like, I never would have reached 6 figures if I wasn't willing to just say, hey, you know, this kind of sucks right now, but what do I want? My why is I want to have a lifelong career as an artist. I want to make enough money to not only survive, but do well. If that means I must invest this money right now, I'm going to do it.
Sure.
It's my only chance. And thank God I did, you know?
Yeah, no. And I respect that. And I think sometimes too, is that we always say people's actions don't match their desires. You know, it's like you say this is what you want, but your actions don't back that up. You know, it's like it's real easy to say we want these things. But one of the things that I heard in there is that you're willing to take any additional help that may come from a playlist or a label or whatever, but you're not basing your whole ability to succeed on that. You're the steak. Those are just extra seasonings that come along.
Correct.
You know, it's like every day, no matter what, if I want my music to get heard, I'm going to make sure that it gets heard. If somebody else happens to jump in and has a little bit bigger megaphone than I do and wants to participate, awesome. But if not, I'm going to make sure that my music gets heard.
You know, and I'm it may be coming across dry and cutthroat, but it really is black and white. It's just making a decision that I'm willing to invest what I can at this time, no matter what, even if it is a low amount, I'm willing to put myself in a position to be seen.
You sound like any other successful independent artist that I've ever listened to. Russ, Nipsey, hell, listen to Jay-Z. Jay-Z, bet on Jay-Z. You know, all of these superstars are superstars for a reason, because they didn't think like everyone else. They weren't waiting for someone else to validate them. They weren't waiting for permission to be awesome. They said, hey, I'm awesome now. I don't need insert record company name here or big time manager here, big time. I'm going to go show the world that I'm awesome. And hey, with my budget, I may be able to only reach 100 people a day, but shit, I haven't played a show for 100 people. And now I'm able to reach 100 people a day sharing my music. And I've never been able to afford to travel to another country. But now for a dollar a day, I'm being introduced to people who like my style of music in another country. Mm-hmm. And now I'm able to continue to amplify this. And that's what I've been teaching people. When I left Taylor in 2008, I went directly to the major labels and I was just confused as hell, you know, but I also saw a lot of things. I'm like, oh, they spent $100,000 on the record, but they have $1 million to market it.
Right.
Interesting. Yeah. Wait, they spend this amount over here to get the whole entire project finished, and they're going to put as a budget to market it three times that?
Right.
Interesting.
Yeah.
But the independent artist puts all of their money into the recording, throws a couple posts up on social media, and goes, nobody likes my music. Right. You know, so what do? They go and record another record instead of investing some money to learn how to market the record that they have. And I'm like, it's just a evolving cycle. So it's refreshing to me when I'm able to speak to an artist that doesn't come across to me as dry and cutthroat, comes across to me as very deliberate. Hmm. And it's deliberate artists that end up building careers.
Yeah.
And that's what you're talking about. And then to be able to have some of the resources and tools to be able to do that. I wasn't going to double dip on this podcast, but I'm going to make a shift and I'm going to make a pivot, because once again, you guys have solved another problem. So artisthub.io is where you go to check out what's available to you. I used that $6 as an example earlier, because that's the low offer price. There's another tier above that that adds a couple other things to it. But if you would like to be able to learn about your audience, give them the best experience possible when it comes to their pre-saves and some of the other cool features that come along with being able to track who's done what, go to artisthub.io and you can find out that information. Now, moving on, I've seen a lot of people get into some really shady deals because they didn't want to reach out to an entertainment attorney. They thought that what was being said in the writer's room was going to remain even after the song started making money. And then all of a sudden you guys come up and create another product that solves a major, major problem. Tell us a little bit about that. Now we're shifting to the legal side, which is your protection side, which is what's going to give you peace of mind. So take it away.
Go ahead, Derek.
We are.
You guys can't, if you're not watching this on video, go watch it on video, because Derek's got this big ass shit eating grin on his face right now. I think we're about to have some fun here. He's super, super excited about this.
Yeah, definitely. So we are launching Invoko, NVOKO. .com. A few years ago, Lucid was working on a deal.
On a deal.
he did his best to protect his rights at the time, sent over some money for a feature from a prominent artist, and things got quiet. We're just waiting. Didn't hear back. Eventually got something back. It wasn't right. And we noticed how flawed the flow was. Because at that point we're like, okay, well, what can we do? Can we send over a contract and kind of do this like after the fact? Can we, what type of conversation can we have with them to just figure out some specifics? And it was a rough position to be in. And so we're like, okay, well, let's make it easier to get features from prominent artists. Okay. There's all these rappers, all these singers. Let's put together a marketplace and, make this a real solution where you can go out and, build your brand through collaborations, which is huge. And then that's what kind of started the project. But along the way, we're like, okay, well, how do we actually protect the collaborations that are being developed on the platform? And that's where we got into the weeds. We brought on our other partner. She is a long-term, entertainment attorney. And she gave us a lot of insight, and she broke down, you know, all the major agreements that she's worked through. And we realized all the variations that kind of happen with legal agreements between artists. And we realized, like, this is the bigger issue. It's not just connecting artists to, you know, features and songwriters and producers, but protecting their rights, because this is the truly messy process where right now there are artists that are working together and they don't even know what questions to ask one another. You know, they negotiate percentage, but there's so many different types of percentage. You know, you got recording royalties, you got publishing, you got music video royalties, you got, you know, reimbursements off of marketing expenses, like the list goes on and on and on. And so we spent a lot of time kind of just understanding, yeah, like what is a music deal? Like what goes into it? What can shift it? And that's where we ended up with where we are today, with a very comprehensive legal platform that isn't, you know, a boilerplate system where you plug in some numbers. It's truly understanding the fabric of what makes a music deal like a business deal. So that's what we worked on, is being able to allow artists to negotiate based off of, you know, terms and questions that they otherwise wouldn't have been aware of, and you know, secure those things with this legal fabric so that their rights are secured and that they can, you know, go to bed peacefully knowing that down the line, if the song blows up or goes viral, that, you know, their income is protected.
Mm-hmm. Give me an example, you know, give me
something. I was actually going to give you an example.
Yeah, that'd be great.
One of my friends, and he has over 1 million monthly listeners, very successful rapper, also converting to some punk rock. His number one song was not protected. It had a sample in it that was not protected within an agreement. And 2 years down the line, he made six figures. He did fantastic with this song. It was the bulk of his income, maybe 60 to 70%. And the other party, I guess, figured that out. And he didn't even realize that he was violating something. And they came at him, and I don't know what exactly the split was, but he lost over 80% of his revenue in that song. Fortunately, he didn't have to pay it back, which, oof.
Yeah,
that's a whole nother issue. They just went into a split agreement where he lost. They took over 80%. His income went, as an independent artist, went down over 70% overnight because he had to change his royalty structure. And the question is why? Well, it's pretty simple. You didn't sign a contract between you and the other creators of that song. And we have been in, me as an artist, I speak as somebody who goes into a studio. I meet somebody new, friend or stranger. We're vibing. You know, something comes up, we start creating a song. It's fantastic. Nobody wants to just, hey, can we stop for a second? Can we talk about these structures? If you don't have the conversation up front, it doesn't get easier over time. Sure. What happens is artists, they finish something, they go into the mixing, they go into the mastering, they release it, and then they go, hey, now that this is out, we should probably, you know, have something on paper. Okay, well, enter next issue. It's $1,500 to work with an entertainment lawyer to build a comprehensive structure and agreement around this one song. It's an expensive process, so nobody can afford it. Okay, we'll get to it later. They never get to it later. Before you know it, you have two albums of completely unprotected music. You know, some of these albums are $20,000 to $30,000. So what is the point of creating such a comprehensive piece of work that can be passed on to our kids, by the way, that is not actually capable of holding up in the court of law? Like, we have to have an agreement to be a cashier down the street. Mm-hmm. And we don't have an agreement because we, for example, I'll give you another example. My friend who is a drummer from Nashville, he drummed on 13 songs on an album. He spent the whole month, day in, day out, like 40, just crushing through. He called me excited. I was like, that's amazing. Congratulations. What's your percentage? And he was like, you know, I think it comes out to like 12 or 13%. And I was like, awesome. Do you have it written down? Oh, no, these are my friends, you know. It's no worry. And I was like, well, I'm glad that you're friends, and I'm not assuming that they're going to screw you over. No one is going to make those assumptions about their friends, but I will be the enlightenment voice here. What if they do? Or what if you guys change your mind? Because later in time, any party on that track does legally have the right to say, you know what? I changed my mind. Take it down. And they are within their right as a creative contributor and a songwriter to that song. They have the power to change their mind. If we just agree to something up front, that's actually affordable and easy to understand, and it can do it quickly, then you never have to worry though. You don't have to worry about this, and it's not a conversation you will ever have down the road. So Invoco not only is non-deterministic and bulletproof, it's dynamic for each individual contract, each individual song that you have. The questions are going to cater to the details of that project. So rather than paying a lawyer every time you have a new project coming out, this platform gives you step-by-step, very digestible, step-by-step questions, and you can negotiate with the other party. And within 10 minutes, you have a bulletproof contract. Both people understand, both people can counter-negotiate. It's on paper, it's backed up in the cloud. You can export and print out the PDF. You're good. You don't have to worry about it. And let's say there's five songwriters on the song. You can do a contract for the trumpet player. You can do a contract for the producer. You can do a contract for the mixing engineer. You know, there's layers, and all of these layers need to be protected, and they need to have contracts individually. And Invoco just simplified that process. It's been a massive issue in the industry.
Now, depending on where you're located, things are done a little different. So in Nashville, for example, most of the time as the artist, you would provide a work for hire, which means if so-and-so came in and played the drums on the track and they were paid, that is a work for hire. And now they can't come to you later and say that they want songwriting credit if it wasn't determined. In LA, anyone in the room is now a songwriter on that project, whether they were the trumpet player or the beat maker or the, you know, whatever. So having those conversations before it starts making money is only going to protect you. It's unfortunate because the music business is one of the few businesses, well, I guess sports is as well. Wherever you're signing a massive contract, you have to go through the divorce before the marriage. You need to understand what's going to happen if this doesn't work out. So understanding all those properties ahead of time. And if you're too nervous to get into the room with someone and bring this up, you're not ready for the business side of things. And I'm just saying that out of respect. It's like somebody on your behalf needs to do it. And if anybody, and here's the thing too, if anybody gets uncomfortable with you asking questions about money, they're the wrong person for you to be in that room with, in my opinion as well, because I'm not saying they had ulterior motives, but the smartest person in the room wins. I don't care if they were the least of the contributors, the smartest person in the room will always win. And you need to make sure, understanding, are we just doing splits because we're writing? Great. Write it down. Get it done. Take pictures of it. Sign it. You know, but the fact that you can have a document without having to call your attorney, if you're, can get them on the phone. And then it's like, they sell you each time they do it for you, they sell it to you. You know, it's not like it's, well, you have all my information. No, it's $1,500 per song. And like you said, if it's a 10 song album, it's a lot of money.
Yeah,
it's a lot of money. And you guys, Derek, what's the way in which Invoco works to be able to eliminate? Is it like, is it a membership? Do you have unlimited access? What's the process behind them utilizing this platform?
Great question. So effectively, we charge a one-time fee per project. And a project could be, really, it's a release. And the reason I say that is because there could be a lot of people that work on a release. You could have, you know, a producer, songwriter, instrumentalist. And we just want to make it clear that, you know, as soon as you pay for a release, it's covered. And whether, you know, it's down the line and you want to get a remix, like you're still covered. And it's also important because it keeps everybody in touch with one another, because as new people are introduced to the project, you got to make sure that there's enough of the pie to go around. So it keeps track of, you know, the appropriate shares between, you know, every contributor, and ensures that there's agreement whenever those terms are changed so that everyone, you know, stays in sync.
Got it. So and for somebody like, go ahead.
In terms of membership, there's two tiers.
Okay.
You can either pay individually per project. By project, it's song, per song. Okay.
Per song, got it.
And if there's five contracts within that one song, you only pay one time.
Got it.
You're not paying for individual contracts. You're just paying per song. Let's say, for example, that's $50, which normally it's $1,000 or $1,500. The one option is, let's, you're doing five songs a year, so you only want to pay for five songs. For people who are producers and they're doing you know, 12 songs a month, that can also add up. So we were like, okay, so let's do an annual fee, which we're not entirely sure what that is, but let's say it's between, you know, $300 and $500 the entire year.
Right.
And it's going to cover unlimited songs. Anything that you are a part of is completely covered, even if you do 300 contracts, if you're on the unlimited plan. So it's either going to be, hey, pay for one track at a time, or completely unlimited and you're covered for the entire year.
Mm-hmm. Love that. Love that. I also think too, what's interesting is, like, I was thinking about Gail, who had like 20 versions of A, B, C, D, E, F, U. You know, it's like there's one contract covers 20 different versions. It's like, or is, I mean, that's, I mean, how can you not look into something like that? I think it's one of those things, again, where it's like the true business person just had that aha moment, like, oh, thank God, finally, you know? The other artist is, well, everybody is always trying to make a buck off of us artists. Yeah, so you're right.
You said that. I was just in mental synchronicity with what you were thinking, because I was about to say, although Artist Hub and Invoco are two different topics within the same industry.
Yes.
There's two, people are going to listen to this and they're going to go one of two ways. They're either going to listen to it and go with what you just said. They're going to make a buck, or this isn't that serious, or I don't need to worry about it. And the other way is people are going to see an opportunity. They're going to go, I do want to reduce the friction for my fans. I am willing to invest a little bit more to make sure that I can expose my audience and create a career out of this. Oh, and at the same time, I think it's probably smart that I legally protect myself, because I'm committing my life, my passion, my time, my money to this. Why in the hell would we not protect it? Protect it, just like you would protect anything else. Eventually, sure, it goes to your family. So of course we want to protect our family. You know, just because we have a handshake agreement, well, what about our children? What if our children decide not to honor what we were lifelong friends over? So for me, I hope whoever's listening to this and taking it as someone who is, I'm still doing this, I'm still investing, I'm still in it for life, makes the decision that, hey, okay, I'm willing to, I don't even want to call it a sacrifice, it's an investment.
It's a business expense.
It's a business expense.
You want to be in business, treat it like a freaking business.
Yeah, exactly.
And the cool part is, anyone listening to the podcast, they're business folks. We already know that. Yeah. You may be watching this on YouTube, looky-loo. You got attracted to what I put in the keyword description. If you're this far into this, hopefully you understand that it's a business. But I'm at that point where the person who thinks that everyone's out to screw you, let me just tell you, yes, everyone's out to screw you. Run, get out of the business, stop uploading music. You're in the frickin' way anyway. So it's too crowded, too many stuff. So if you're the fearful one, just go. You're right. Everyone's out to get you. We're all out to screw you. We woke up this morning saying, let's go screw over as many independent artists as we possibly can, because they're all frickin' loaded. Not. Okay. So run, be free. But the business, people are laughing right now because they're like, damn. No, but the business-minded artist, all I do is introduce you to things that you're already investing a boatload of money and time in, and giving you the opportunity to invest less time and less money, because that's what smart business people do. They understand that everything needs to get done. You can ride in the horse and buggy. It's going to get you to the location that you need to get to. It may take you a month. Or you can drive the car. Your choice. Still two options. Mm-hmm. Which do you want? Mm-hmm. Everything that I bring to my audience is time and money. It's like, you can do this, cool, or you can not do this. Now, let me also explain this. By not doing the right things, it's going to end up costing you more time and more money in the long run. Just throwing that out from somebody who always tried to take the least effective way. I remember I was sitting on a platform or on a panel one time talking, and they're like, Rick, what would you have done different? I said, I would have started investing in education a lot sooner. Mm-hmm. And I would have stopped always trying to think that I could figure everything out, because I'm a smart dude. And I would have, whatever the program they offer, I now ask, what's the highest level that I can get? Because I know that gets me the fastest of whatever I need to accomplish, and gets me usually closer to the person that created it. I said I was the cheapskate in the beginning because I had an hourly employee mentality and not a business owner mentality. Sure. And when I bragged about building my first WordPress site and it took me 35 hours and I could show it off, and I had a kid who was a WordPress expert tell me how good it looked, And then when I asked him how long it would have taken him to do it, and it was about a tenth of what it took me, I realized how much money I left on the table because I know how much I am per hour. And I'm like, shit, I got a $30,000 website based on my hourly rate and the time I put into it versus this kid who's an expert that could have done it for $2,500.
Sure.
That made me start looking at things a little bit different.
I love that.
And it's crazy.
I also want to clarify that although we're talking, we are reaching to the people who are serious.
Yes.
You don't have to be a serious 20-year musician for this conversation to apply to you. Mm-hmm. You could literally have your first single coming out. You just have dropped your first song. Start now.
Yes.
Start now with formalizing your business. In fact, it's much easier to start now and make sure that all of your contracts, all of your landing pages, all of your conversions, just optimize it now. And you're building from your ground zero is solid. The issue that most of us are going to be running into, including 98% of my friends who are excited about Invoco, is they have albums under their belt and they now have to go back 5 years into conversations and say, hey,
remember?
Yeah, 4 years. You know, I know you have 25%. I just want to solidify this. Again, the right people will say, hey, man, of course, that's what we agree to. I'll sign this.
Right.
But like you said, if they're not willing to do that, well, they're probably not the kind of people we want to be working with anyway.
Yep.
So either way, whether you are brand new, whether you're an amateur or a professional, which I don't care for either of those terms, if you're taking this seriously for 20 years or you just started, this is still the right time to formalize your business.
Absolutely.
Marketing and branding and in terms of legalities. There's no, don't wait. There's no like, okay, I'll do it once I get an album. I'll do it once I have a trademark. It's all BS.
Or I wish I would have known about this 5 years ago. It's too late for me now. No.
Trust me. If this existed, like without, because I have like 210 million streams and I think I've come across like 8 or 9 million people. If I had the ability to capture pre-saves successfully, a compound forever pre-saves in association to extracting their email address. If I had that ability 5 years ago, I would have over 1 million people in my system.
Right.
We are just now offering these tools because of the loops that I was going through. So this is just sheer opportunity. We're not too late. Sure, the past could have been better. Sure, it sucks, but it is what it is. If you're hearing this, you have the opportunity to shift directions. You have the opportunity. Yeah. To $20 a month, okay, transparently, it's over $200,000 for us just to make this platform.
Sure.
So we are, as independents and as like bootstrappers with Derek and I and our development team, which is growing all across the world, which is awesome, it has been out of our pockets and investing. We haven't made $1 from it in 3 years because every dollar we make, we reinvest to build the next feature and make it more bulletproof, more competitive, more value. So our focus, and which is what I love about our team, is value focused. And I'm not just saying that. Like people in our system know that. Like they come talk to us, they talk directly to the founders and they say, hey, I have this idea, I found this flaw, what can we do? We're literally working on it that day. Like a lot of these corporate structures, truthfully, they just don't give a shit.
Well, and you could never get to that person, you know? And it's one of these things too, is it's like, somebody said something to me one time, they're like, Rick, I just appreciate all this free information and all that you just provide so much value for free. I said, well, let me show you what free to you actually costs me. And I opened up my tax return. And I showed them how much I spent on those emails. I showed them how much I spent on the membership platform to host those things. I showed them how much I spent on my assistant. I showed them how much money I spent on masterminds. I showed them how much money I spent on courses to be able to stay up to date. Wow. And they sat there and they're like, you spend over six figures. I said, I don't spend it. I invest it. I invest over six figures in my business, which by the way, you guys see it's on my tax return. So I'm writing it off because I have my business set up properly in order to bring you. And it was that day of being full transparent when you just said, this is what we spent, that my relationship with my audience changed, you know, because it's like when I'm able to sit there and say to them, it's like, look, I wish I could find a mortgage company that would accept generosity as a form of payment, but I haven't been able to do that yet. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to be able to offer you what you couldn't get. Taylor Swift paid me $150,000 a year for the same guidance strategy that I'm offering you guys over here for $500. Sure, you're not going to have me every day and I'm not representing you like I was her, but I'm going to give you that same strategy, same guidance, and say, and I'm only going to do this. And they're like, why are you doing it? I said, because I can do it for more people. I said, I can manage three people, cross my fingers, hope they end up on every tour, that they're priority at the label, that they get on every playlist, and put a lot of pressure on them for my family to succeed. Or I can go find 500 people a year out in the world that would love to be able to have direct access to learn from me. I said, that's the model I'm going for. I said, I love golfing. I golf every day. So I can't do that if I'm managing major label artists. So I built the lifestyle that I like. Could I make more money here? Absolutely. But that's not my motivation. My motivation is to live the way I want to live, enjoy the time the way I want to enjoy it, be able to provide for my family and serve as many people as possible. Not taking anything away from anybody else's business model that wants to have a $10 million a year business. I don't want the headache that comes along with that or the responsibilities that come along with that. So when I'm that transparent with people, that's the type of audience that I have. That's why I couldn't wait to, you know, get you guys in front of them, because they're going to see the opportunity that's being presented in front of them. And they're going to be like, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. No one's going to look at the cost, because it's going to cost you more not to get your business set up properly than it is to get your business set up properly. I will guarantee you that from everything that I've seen in the 30 years that I've been in business. When money starts being made, you'll see who the true people are. And when you're protected, you're protected. That's the same way. It's like everybody's like, I don't want to copyright my songs. Great. Then if you get called into court, don't walk in there with your little poor man copyright thing when the guy who is jacking you took the time to spend the money and says, well, here's mine from the U.S. Copyright Office. Whether he's telling the truth or not, he wins. Why? Because he set it up properly.
That's right.
And that's what you've got to do. Guys, you were awesome. I love that we were able to turn this into a two-part series. So I will have links where they can go find out about both platforms that are available for them. I'll also have links where they can follow you, Lucid, on your musical journey. And Derek, thanks for being smart enough to be able to extract from an artist. As a manager who works a lot with creatives, it's not always easy. So God bless you for being able to extract what needed to be done, and more importantly, for getting it done. You know, that's Thank what's you. Great about all of this. Full transparency. I told them that I did not want a dime, or there is no affiliate commissions being earned by me on any of these platforms. One, because at the price that they're doing it at, there's not a lot there anyway, because they're bare boning this thing. And because these are two products that I truly believe in, there are times where I will have a guest where I would be making something. I told them I wanted nothing on this. So I just wanted to let you guys know that I'm not pushing this on you guys because I'm profiting from it at all. What I'm getting is goodwill, because I think karma, I want to load up as much in the bank as I can, because I pissed a lot of people off in the 80s. So, all right. So thank you guys once again for being here. I appreciate you. And I look forward to watching this thing grow, man, and watching it help a lot of people.
And hopefully we get the opportunity to dive into a live Q&A and just work directly with the people who did watch this. And they want to dive in deeper with us.
Well, they're on my email list. Then they're definitely getting involved. And for those, actually, anybody on this podcast, you're currently on my list. So this isn't just a one and done with us. This is something that we're all passionate about, equipping you guys with the right pieces of equipment that you need in order to run a successful business. So we'll be seeing and hearing a lot more of these guys. I promise you that.
Thank you, Rick.